Hello and welcome to episode When I'm 64 of the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast. I am Patrick Macias, the co-author of the new book, The Essential Anime Guide.
And I'm Matt Ault, the author of Pure Invention, How Japan Made the Modern World, and the newsletter by the same name, blog.pureinventionbook.com. Check it out. Patrick, will you still love me now that we're 64? Will you?
I'll still love you, even though it's almost Halloween and Halloween is banned and all fun is banned and you're not allowed to do anything. So I can't wish you anything, Matt.
Is the mayor of Shibuya the Grinch who sold Halloween?
We want to make it clear to the world that Shibuya is not a Halloween event venue. I want to say this strongly and tell people not to come to the area around Shibuya Station during the Halloween period.
I guess the big question on everyone's tongue in Tokyo is trick or treat.
I looked at your newsletter the other day and there's this like awesome photo from 2018, Halloween night in Shibuya, of this guy getting frog marched. Is that what they call it? Away from the Halloween street festival seen by the cops. It looks like he's just been pulled out of the rubble of like ground zero at 9/11 or something, but he was just partying on Halloween night.
It's just another night on the streets of Shibuya when it's Halloween.
This year, if you go to Shibuya, this is now like about a week away from Halloween, you'll be greeted by a large sign saying in friendly letters, no Halloween activities allowed in Shibuya this year.
Don't come, as they say in Japanese video games.
You go back, wrong place. Yankee, go home.
You know, come here illegal. It's bad. It's sad.
How did it get to this, Matt?
We're recording this about a week before Halloween descends on Japan, but Japan traditionally isn't a place that actually celebrates Halloween. You know, Halloween is a Western tradition. It's an import. And yet, despite all of this, in recent years, and by which I mean recent, like the last decade or so, it's become quite hip to party in the streets of Shibuya, where there are no open container laws of any kind, and strong seven chuhais flow freely from numerous convenience stores. And first, initially starting mainly with foreign visitors and residents, and then quickly followed by huge numbers of Japanese, just hordes of people began descending on Shibuya either on the 31st, if it was on a weekend, or the nearest weekend thereto.
Well, this is the thing, is it's not just Halloween night. There's definitely like a 3 to 4 day buildup in the area of like street drinking, costumes, and craziness, and cops in increasing years.
Yeah, so maybe we should go through a little bit of the history of this, because Halloween in Shibuya has become a kind of contentious thing.
Well, first of all, have you ever gone? Have you ever stood shoulder to shoulder with girls dressed like minions and guys dressed like Waldo?
I have not. Even before the threat of death from getting infected by some kind of horrible virus was on the table, I am an introvert and misanthrope at heart. So, you know, like huge crowded spaces are just generally things I tend to avoid. I have been watching with bemusement, the video and footage of the hijinks that occur there.
I've gone 2 or 3 times. It is now filed under a supposedly fun thing I will never do again. After about a half an hour to 20 minutes of that shit, I'm ready to just go home and like eat some candy and watch some monster movies. I don't need to stay out until 3 a.m. until the trucks get knocked over or anything like that. I'm good.
It isn't even like, you know, and I'm getting old kind of thing. I didn't even like going into like densely packed situations like that when I was young. I mean, it's really packed in there. It's like the streets of Sentagai, excuse me, Basketball Street, are literally cheek to jowl, shoulder to shoulder with people dressed in like Pikachu onesies and, you know, minion costumes and whatever.
Zombie schoolgirls, man.
That was the big thing in 2019 or 2018. It was all zombies. It's funny to see how these trends, and then like there's the inevitable 50 people dressed like Waldo from Where's Waldo, and then there's like a lot of like
500
low effort costumes. I would call the Shibuya Halloween festivities low effort cosplay. Nobody really puts that much effort into their costumes there.
No, it's really funny because as much as they're trying to ban Halloween this year, you just go like a few blocks up on Center Street right now and there's the Don Quixote selling like nothing but Halloween costumes, like cheap Dracula capes, plastic fangs, sexy sexy lady cop kind of stuff.
Oh, we'll get into this. We'll get into this later. There is a very much a sort of, you know, split personality going on with the cities. There's what the authorities want. There's what the people want. And then there's what like the businesses want. And they're all different. And they're all like kind of either in conjunction or competing with one another. But right now, what the fact is that for the last about 15 years, this street party has gone on with the exception of during the pandemic.
With the exception of the pandemic, when things basically slowed down to a crawl. The last time I went was in 2017. And yeah, it was quite a scene. I mean, I never felt like in danger of like losing my life, but there were definitely some choke points in those mean back streets of Shibuya where like you are not moving. You are completely dependent on the goodwill of the several thousand people behind you not to like run like cattle in a stampede.
Well, and that leads into what the official explanation for in September, the mayor of Shibuya held a press conference and said explicitly, Shibuya is not a place for Halloween gatherings. Please don't come. We're going to do everything we can to discourage it. And they put up that sign, like you said, and they've also released like a really stilted public safety announcement where it makes no sense. Like, I don't know. I really don't understand how Shibuya, there's a few foreigners walking around there and they even hired a native English speaker to record it. I suspect, actually, I know because he told me on Twitter that he had provided alternate takes that are actually grammatically correct, but they didn't use them. They went with this. Nobody chooses to be an assailant. I don't even understand what that means. Anyway, he releases. Actually, play it. Play it. It's amazing.
On Halloween night, everyone should stay away from Shibuya. Some people live in Shibuya. Violence. Drinking on the street, smoking on the street, traffic violation. You can't choose how your action will affect others. You can't choose to be a victim or a assailant. No smoking on the street. No drinking on the street. This is all prohibited in this area. From and until when? It's prohibited from October 27th to October 31st, during the times of 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. of the following day.
They released this public service announcement. They put up this big sign right outside Shibuya Station saying, you know, go away, don't come during Halloween, just stay away. The official explanation for this is that, you know, as you may remember, last year in Seoul, Korea, Itaewon, if I'm pronouncing this correct, the neighborhood, there was a big Halloween party and there was it was in a tiny, cramped, even more cramped than Shibuya Center guy with much fewer exits. Like there were no like side street exits. And there was kind of one of those domino effects where people kind of, there's a crowd crush and a huge number of people died, like almost like 160, I think. Yeah, it was horrific. It was really, really, really bad. So the Shibuya mayor is using that as his reasoning. You know, the crowds have gotten out of control. We're worried about this kind of thing. And so we are officially going to do everything we can to stop Shibuya Halloween from happening. And we don't actually know what they're doing. Like, are they going to prevent people from going on like Center Guy? Are they going to like slide tackle anybody who gets off the Yamanote line wearing like a Dracula costume? Like, I don't know.
I think we'll see in the next couple of days what they're going to do in terms of like militarizing the area. Over the last few years, since the tipping point was really 2018, when it became like national news in Japan, this video of these foreigners tipping over a truck.
Yes.
And how many people got arrested? Girls were getting groped. Like, it was the year that everything went bad.
May I correct you? So yeah, you went in 2017. So it was like starting to bubble.
It was
over.
The golden age, the golden
era, exactly. But in 2018, I don't know if it was actually, was it foreign people who flipped the truck? The video I saw, there were definitely Japanese people like dancing a jig on top of it.
Why? Okay, so I looked this up. I dug this article out.
Okay.
And it looks like some of the suspects were French, Belgian, and British. The men arrested were a company employee, a choreographer, an architect, and a hairdresser. This sounds like the setup for a very dirty joke, Matt.
Did they walk into a bar afterwards? So there's a kind of tendency among the foreign community, the aggrieved foreign community in Japan, to focus on the racial aspects of this. Like, you know,
blame the gaijin, Matt. Blame the foreigners.
The mayor of Shibuya, I don't think, has actually said anything about foreign people. And there are way more Japanese people participating in this now than foreign people. I literally think it is purely a crowd control issue. It's like a public safety issue. Nobody has said, oh, we got to get the foreigners out of Shibuya, which would make no sense because Shibuya is in recent, this is, we're going to start touching on this here, this kind of, you know, split personality towards the revelry in the streets of Shibuya. Shibuya has put a huge amount of money in the last, you know, 10 years or so into putting all of these kind of tourist friendly venues in all of these. There's that whole kind of like dining street or whatever it is under where, you know, what is it? Miyashita Park used to be?
Yeah, that fake Yokocho.
Yeah, the fake Yokocho. And like they hugely welcome foreign visitors in there. So like the idea that they would be trying to drive them out makes no sense. And certainly the companies around there love this influx of people coming in. It's like a huge, people are constantly buying stuff. And like even in the hours leading up to Halloween, I'm sure there's people like, you know, they must be making a ton of money, not just the convenience stores, but other like associated boutiques and stuff around there.
And yet in the Japanese media, there is this anti-foreigner bias that I've been seeing continuously. There have been like stories running about the street drinking on Center Street, on Center Guy there in Shibuya on the weekends. They're interviewing people. They show pictures of all the trash they leave out front. And specifically saying, you know, Gaikokujin, specifically saying...
Well, wait, which news outlets? Which news outlets, though? Is this like me channel?
Abima News, the only source of information I get anything
from. I was going to say, so a tabloid news aggregator.
But this is also the year of Johnny Somali and like nuisance streamers and stuff like that, which was also national news in Japan.
Yes.
So this is like, it's getting a little hot out there, if you know what I mean.
Well, so let's turn the clock back a little bit and talk about how did we get to now? And the answer to that can be found in the fact that Halloween, as I was saying earlier, isn't a holiday. Is Halloween even a holiday? It's more of kind of like a happening to me.
It's a holiday my place, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, it's always a holiday at your place. So Halloween isn't really celebrated in Japan at all. The spooky season in Japan isn't autumn. It is summer. It's the end of summer, August in particular, because that is when, in Japanese tradition, the Obon holidays happen, where your departed ancestors return from the underworld to pay a visit to your house, and like you kind of commemorate them. You know, you if you have a Buddhist altar, you know, you kind of pay respects there at your house.
And they can't come in if there's a bunch of foreigners drinking in front of your door, leaving trash everywhere, right?
So open container laws have never existed in Japan, so it's always been a problem. There's people drinking on your porch at all hours of the day and night. So Obon is like a big holiday, and it has roots in Buddhist tradition. And, you know, part of the kind of folklore around this is that when the gates of the underworld open up to allow our beloved, you know, grandparents and ancestors and whoever to come out and visit us, all sorts of other spooky things can sneak out too. Like, you know, yokai and oni.
Australians.
Australians with strong seven chuhais in hand. This is a big reason why like ghost stories and yokai stories are like a big thing in Japan in the summer. So like there's no tradition of autumnal, you know, celebrations of spooks and ghosts and ghouls and things like that. That's purely a Western thing.
Yeah, the whole candy apples and razor blades thing doesn't really fly out here.
We had, when I was a kid growing up in Maryland, I think it was like PCP injected Snickers bars or something. And I was like, you know, the old I got, I was like, where can I find these PCP-injected Snickers bars? Anyway, there's no trick-or-treat in Japan. Like, the idea of sending your kids to your neighbor's house, threatening them for candy, for some reason, isn't part of Japanese, you know, everyday culture.
In your Substack article, you kind of put the blame on the Walt Disney Corporation for, like, promoting Halloween parades, Halloween events, and really kind of, like, normalizing Halloween.
Yeah, because, and which makes sense, because, you know, Disney is a Western company, and I'm sure there are Halloween events at the Disney lands and worlds in other venues and other places of the world. So it makes sense that they would look for any excuse to have some kind of reason to get people to come to the park for a seasonal thing. So yeah, both Disney Land, Tokyo Disneyland, and also I've heard Universal Studios around this same time started doing really Halloween-themed events. And this started to kind of drill the idea into young Japanese people's minds that this was a holiday that existed.
Here's a spooky Halloween story I have from, this is maybe about like 15 years ago now. The Kawasaki Halloween Parade is something they still do every year.
Yes.
Before Shibuya became like ground zero for all Halloween activity, it really was the Kawasaki Halloween Parade. And it was great. There were a lot of families, people, the same goofy costumes you see in Shibuya. You know, they keep people moving from point A to point B so it doesn't just become like a mosh pit of just like people puking on themselves like it does in Shibuya.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It was under control. It's a parade, right? It was a parade and still is a parade. And so that's much more of a focused kind of event. Shibuya is just people descending on that place to get as drunk as possible. That's literally what it's always been. But anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, it's funny you bring up the Kawasaki parade because, you know, superficially, it makes a lot of sense that Japan would love Halloween. You got all these like ghouls, like, you know, parading around. And Japan has this long history of like yokai scrolls where, you know, goblins and things are parading along the page and, you know, grotesquely dressed, tricking the fine citizens of Japan with whatever tricks yokai like to play on them.
Posting it on social media, live streaming.
Yeah, there probably is an Instagram yokai. There must be. We're all infected by them now. And, you know, Japanese love dressing up, you know, cosplay, right? Everybody around the world uses a Japanese word to describe this activity that humanity has been doing since pretty much they've been humans. So, you know, it makes sense that these things would come together, but they didn't really for a long time until, you know, Disney and other, and then later after that, Japanese candy companies made this big push. And I remember this like around the like mid-late aughts, suddenly you started seeing Halloween themed candies showing up at like convenience stores and supermarkets and things like that. And I was like, what, where is this coming from? It was just like an excuse. It was an excuse for candy companies to kind of drum up sales in a period where there traditionally aren't a lot. So you had this kind of corporate promotion of Halloween as a thing that should be celebrated happening. But I think the driving force behind why people started to get together in the streets is actually foreign focused. And I think to talk about that, we have to talk about the Yamanote line, Patrick. The Yamanote takeovers or hijackings, depending on what your viewpoint is, have been going on for a really long time. When I was studying abroad here in 93, in the fall of 93, I remember us all hearing about a Yamanote takeover. And I can't for the life of me remember what it, I certainly didn't dress up, but I had to ride the Yamanote line to get back home. And I do remember there being just incredibly crowded, people actually drinking on the train, which that doesn't usually happen. And foreigners would kind of descend on one train station, usually Shinjuku, in a specific car, and they would just party along an entire circle of the Yamanote line, which takes about, what does that take? Like 45 minutes? Like an hour? In 93, there weren't that many foreign young people here. So it was just kind of an annoying thing that happened if you happened to be on the train at that time. But over the years, as more and more people came, it got like, by the early aughts, you had these packed train cars with people just getting wasted and like running around. And like, you know, when the train would stop, they'd all play like musical chairs and run from one car to the other and just kind of be jerks. And it started to be a real problem. And this is really the kind of genesis of Halloween, Shibuya Halloween in Japan, I think. Did you ever ride on one of those?
Oh, hell no, Matt. No way, dude. No, I was too busy with the Kawasaki Halloween parade, changing into my Blue Ranger costume in a toilet stall like Peter Parker.
Yes.
No, it just looked like, you know, if I want to party on Halloween, I'll go to a bar or a restaurant.
Yes.
Or like a contained space where like there's a bathroom. Like, call me old fashioned, if you will.
This is the reason I've never been attracted to things like the Yamanote takeovers or the Shibuya Halloween is they really seem like a safety valve for people who are bitterly unhappy with what their lives are like in Japan and like looking for an excuse to kind of go wilding. And like, I'm not somebody who's saying it necessarily should be shut down or that you're a, you know, a terrible human being if you're drinking too high on the street. God knows we've all been there. But like, it wasn't really a cool scene. I didn't come to Japan to hang out with huge numbers of foreign people, for one thing. Like, if I wanted to hang out with huge numbers of my own, you know, countrymen, I just live in America. So that never really appealed. But anyway, the idea of train takeovers goes way, way back. After I posted that piece on my newsletter, I actually heard from Alfred Birnbaum, who I interviewed a couple of issues before and has been living here since the 60s. 80s. And he said back in the 70s, foreign kids would jump on the train and ride around and drink on it. So like there was some, you know, precedent for this. He said it wasn't Halloween focused when they were doing it when they were kids, but
it was just called Wednesday night.
Exactly. It's just like, let's get drunk on the Yamanote line. And by the way, if I'm not being explicitly clear about this, don't do this. Don't drink on the train. And it doesn't even matter. You can't, because we haven't gotten to the next part of the story, which is when I first started noticing this in the mid 90s, it was just kind of an annoying thing that happened. By the mid aughts, like 2005 or so, it had gotten to be a real problem. And then suddenly like 2Channel and places like that started picking it up. And finally, like around 2008, 2009, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like this group of right-wing Japanese protesters showed up at, I think it was Shinjuku, I'm not sure where, with these signs saying like, foreigners go home, we don't want Halloween, you know, gaijin off our trains, like all of this kind of stuff. And the cops like stopped them. And then they started to realize like, oh, wait a second, this isn't just a bunch of drunk foreign people. This is like a race riot about to start. And they just totally clamped down on that. Like, there are no Yamanote line takeovers anymore, hijackings, whatever you want to call them, because the cops are out in force on October 31st, you know, watching around that time to make sure that if you're in a costume or something, you're not like bringing drinks on the train to get a party. So, but what happens? Like every action has an equal and opposite reaction. It just sent everybody onto the streets. And that's where the Shibuya Halloween really started, like 2010, around that time period, because people couldn't ride the trains anymore. So they started packing into Shibuya Center Guy instead.
And every year it would get bigger and bigger and crazier and crazier. I mean, it's like the law of thermodynamics known as like the party.
Yeah.
No matter how well-intentioned it begins, if you give people a place to party, it's going to eventually become like a drunken, chaotic mess.
Yes. And like word spread, right? And not only that, the rise in the numbers of people at Shibuya Halloween parallels the rise in number of tourists coming to Japan.
And social media and selfie sticks and live streaming. And all that
100%, stuff. 100%. Well, actually, look at that. So 2010, right? That's when the smartphone really started to take off. So you have this kind of potent mix of smartphones and social media a couple of years after that, plus huge numbers of tourists coming in looking for a good time. They hear about this, you know, and it draws more people to it.
Plus the release of the Minions.
What, can somebody explain to me why these films are popular? Have you watched them before? Do you know anything about them?
I can't watch that. I know, man. I'm too busy watching Dawn of the Dead and Phantasm. Okay.
I know. Jesus. Don't get me started. But yes, Minions. I think it's just simply the fact that Don Quixote has a giant stack of Minions costumes. And most of these, like I said, Shibuya Halloween is low effort cosplay. This is not like the stuff you see at Wonderfest, you know, where somebody has been working on their cardboard Gundam costume for like 6 months, 8 months, a year, their whole lives, and this is their moment to shine. No, Shibuya Halloween is you're like basically wearing a hefty bag and you have a bottle of Jack Daniels and you're dodging the cops.
Yeah, I think the idea is something you can wear that'll be okay if you puke all over it and like, you know, wake up in the sidewalk in.
Can be hosed off if you soil yourself. Yes, that's exactly the order of the day for Shibuya Halloween costumes.
So the street party got crazier and crazier until, I guess, 2018, which is when they made those arrests and there was that footage of these guys knocking over this truck. And there were a lot of reports of really nasty things like girls getting groped. Like, yes, it was the year that public sentiment against Halloween really turned
negative.
Yeah,
and that's actually the thing, right? It's not that the authorities are upset that people are drinking in the streets necessarily, because that's something that people have been doing in Japan since time immemorial. There was like literal illegal, nasty things happening, not just simply, ooh, we flipped a truck. But like you said, I think it's kind of obvious, you know, which side of this we come down. I'm actually not somebody who wants to just totally shut down street celebrations in Japan or anything like that.
So the following year, Shibuya tries to make it a proper event by calling it like Halloween Pride in Shibuya. There's lots of rules, lots of instructional videos, lots of cops, no alcohol sales, like in the area surrounding Center Guy in the station area.
This has to be like a world first. Like in Japan, alcohol sales shut down for any length of time near Shibuya Station. It has to literally be, it's epoch making, I think. But yes, it's true. They really tried to control it. And I think it went pretty well, as I recall. 2019 wasn't anywhere, you know, Blade Runner might have been happening somewhere, but the streets of Shibuya were pretty safe. safe, as I recall. Don't you?
I remember the days leading up to it. I mean, it just felt like a militarized zone. There were like rows of police buses just like waiting to like carry people away. They had those like DJ police. What do they call them? They have like cops on top of like buses.
Yes.
People with microphones telling you to keep moving.
Cattle prods. I think one thing that people need to keep in mind here is that the Japanese cops in general are hyper attuned to large numbers of unruly people coming together in gatherings. Because in the post-war era, there, especially in the late 60s, I mean, there were literal riots in the streets. There's the Shinjuku riots, where protesters who are gathering to protest the fact that like JR lines were being used to transport war material to American bases for transport to Vietnam. They literally destroyed Shinjuku Station, and like the streets of Shinjuku around there were like a siege. There were all sorts of student like takeovers of buildings and things like that. And then there was, of course, like around Narita Airport, all of those protests and things, which is why if you've ever flown at a Narita Airport, you might have noticed there are these huge fences, like giant prison style fences all around the runways. It's because there were so many protests and sieges over that. And so the cops are like kind of hair trigger ready whenever huge numbers of people get together to like kind of view it in the worst possible light. So anyway, like big gatherings are a kind of thing to authorities here in Japan. And I think the Shibuya one has kind of, even though it went well in 2019, and then it was shut down totally 2020, 2021, nobody was allowed.
And last year, there were less people than 2019, but by all accounts, it was still a drunken mess.
Yes.
That people weren't feeling too great about.
But what the big difference is that there weren't as many tourists. There wasn't anybody coming in from the Asian mainland. There were much, much fewer people coming in from the States. And so it was mainly people stuck in Japan who were going there. So it was on a much smaller scale. And like, if you look at the videos of 2022, it's you can just see people aren't packed in the streets. This year, 2023, tourism levels are now, I think, at something like 96% of what they were in 2019 before pandemic. So everybody's back. And the mayor of Shibuya and the cops there are very, very nervous that all of this pent-up energy is going to result in yet another car getting flipped over.
Or worse, Neo Tokyo might really explode this time.
So I can tell you where I'm going to be on Halloween. I'm going to be in my basement watching spooky movies. I'm not going to be on the streets of Shibuya. And neither will you or anybody else, because the cops are going to probably have barricades up and prevent people from getting in there.
Yeah, that's the question, is like, what shape, form is this ban going to take? Is it just going to be the mayor of Shibuya a sign in some videos on the internet? Or are they really going to like barricade the streets? I mean, there's a lot of businesses there. How is Don Quixote going to sell those like sexy lady cop costumes and the Dracula capes if everything's barricaded around the area?
I think two things are going to happen. I think they are going to barricade the streets because they have done this before. What's going on is actually, it's really similar to what's been happening with New Year's celebrations, like New Year's countdowns, which is another kind of tradition that was imported from the West. There is no tradition of counting down to the New Year in Japan. There's just, when the New Year happens, you know, you spend a couple days after that hanging out with your family and getting drunk and eating osechi, which are traditional New Year's boxes, bento boxes.
You're supposed to be watching the red and white music show, the Kohaku under a kotatsu.
Yes. The countdowns that were happening in Shibuya, these ad hoc countdowns, were getting kind of out of control. And then Shibuya sort of co-opted them. And for the last couple of years, well, you know, there was pandemic, so they stopped. But leading up to pandemic, Shibuya ran them as official countdowns with corporate sponsorship and stuff like that. And I think that's what's going to happen with Halloween. I think what's going to happen in 2024 is you're going to see a very, very tightly managed event with like a stage, and they're going to like have gates and, you know, kind of control people going in and out. And they're going to kind of tame the event that way. That's my prediction. What's your prediction, Patrick?
My prediction for the fight is pain. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this year is, you know, I think people are still going to go out there just to like see what's going to happen, whether they're going to street drink or not. I think just the looky-loo factor, God knows I'll be out there a few days before just trying to sneak a peek.
Did you notice, I remember in 2022, and I think they did it in 2019 too, they put up giant boards on the windows of Shibuya stations that you couldn't film from up above. They wanted to kind of, you know, curtail Instagramming streaming opportunities, which is probably a smart move if you want to, you know, stop the word from spreading about it.
It seems very difficult to ban an entire holiday from happening. This is the subject of like so many Rankin-Bass Christmas specials where like, you know, it's the year without a Santa Claus or the Halloween that almost wasn't. So there are other alternatives available. I see signs all over here for like Gotanda Halloween.
Right.
Ikebukuro tried to brand Halloween there for a few years with like their own Halloween street parade.
It's a democratization of Halloween.
All alternatives are available, but the hashtags don't get you as many clicks as Shibuya Halloween.
Shibuya is already one of the most, it's rapidly becoming this year, one of the most over-touristed places in Japan. Like other cities have struggled with over-tourism, and it's a real thing. Like Kyoto is unnavigable in many sections of Kyoto, especially the traditional ones, are just overrun with tourists. And Shibuya has been getting that way. We talked about this in a previous episode. So I don't necessarily, you know, whether I agree with the mayor or not, I understand where he's coming from, which is that this is, you know, word is out about Shibuya Halloween. There's more people here than ever before, and who knows what can happen.
And if something's fun, we have to stop it, Matt.
Exactly. Why don't they just go have Halloween? They can go to the Studio Ghibli Park in Aichi. There's a bunch of open space in there.
My solution is build a fake Shibuya 1:1 scale replica, like near the airport, fly people in, they can run around, they can wait in line at Ippudo, they can like tip over a truck and just go home.
Neo Shibuya, I love it. Anyway, Shibuya, Patrick, not even once. Don't let your children be like you were in your misbegotten youth of 2017. Just say no. Just like, it's like Nancy Reagan said, just say no to Shibuya Halloween.
Yeah, they got
to
get Mr. T or someone out there to do some like videos to like tell people, hey man, Halloween ain't cool, stay home.
until we make it a corporate Halloween next year. Then show up. Give us money.
Yeah, we'll tell you when and where and how to celebrate Halloween. Don't do it yourself.
Well, let's do a little follow-up on this next episode. Episode 65. We're going to be eligible for retirement.
65. So when we're in the detention center in Shinagawa for having knocked over, I don't know, several trucks this Halloween.
I don't push over trucks, Patrick. I only push over life-sized Gundam and Godzilla statues.
Everybody's heading for Woolworth and Woolco to get set for Halloween. There's Star Wars costumes like Darth Vader and C-3PO. Superheroes like Spider-Man, Wonder Woman and Batman. There's the Shogun Warrior and many more, all at bare bones prices. Only $1.97 to $3.99. And wrapped candy of every kind to cheer any spirit. All at the favorite Halloween haunts, Woolworth and Woolco.
Thank you so much for listening to the Pure Tokyo Scope podcast. Please continue to listen to our show, to support our show, and to like us on social media and give us good reviews and give us candy corn and let's see, Milky Ways and Three Musketeers, Tootsie Rolls. Do you have any favorite Halloween candies, Matt?
Canned highballs. We accept those as payment. You can just ship cases of them.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye.